The year was 1869, not long after the end of the Civil War. Americans were caught up in all kinds of change. This is the year a Civil War hero takes over the White House.
Ulysses S. Grant, our 18th president, was a great general.
It is the year an iconic American company churns out the first of its 57 varieties.
Heinz, the slowest ketchup in the West. East, North, and South.
And it's the year baseball became a business.
Harry Wright assembled the very first professional team, the Cincinnati Red Stockings.
But what captivated the nation in October of 1869 was an amazing discovery in upstate New York, 12 miles south of Syracuse, in the hamlet of Cardiff.
A Goliath, a colossus, a behemoth.
It was a petrified man, taller than 10 feet, with a 3-foot shoulder span, 7-inch wide hands, and feet measuring 19 and a half inches. It came to be known as
the Cardiff Giant.
It put the name of Cardiff on the lips of the world, someone later said, and that certainly was true.
No one in the area near Cardiff knows more about the giant than former town historian Roy Dodge. He's been building a file on the giant for half a century. That's long enough to gather boxes and boxes of material about the creature, but it's also long enough for the memory of the giant to fade.
I would guess that probably the majority of the people living here never heard of it.
He's probably tall?
No, I've never heard of that before.
I don't know. I thought of a cart full of giants. I don't know.
Even the folks around Cardiff aren't exactly working hard to remind the world of what happened here almost 150 years ago.
Locally, the presence of that giant is really, really, really minuscule.
Syracuse University pop culture expert Bob Thompson can't believe his own area seems to have all but forgotten the giant, a creature that made headlines when it was discovered by workers digging a well on a farm. As anthropology professor Ken Fader told the History Channel in a 1999 documentary, for a long while, people just didn't know what to make of it.
It's enormous. He's lying there with his legs sort of folded into the side, a little bit flexed at the knee. He's got at least one hand at his side and one hand over his chest. His eyes are closed, his nose is enormous, and he has this little hint of a smile. And he sure is one giant naked man.
The Cardiff Giant was the brainchild of a man named George Hull, an atheist who couldn't understand why some people believed everything they read in the Bible, especially the reference in the book of Genesis to a time when there were giants in the earth. Hull dreamed up a scheme to have a giant man carved out of stone, and historian Roy Dodge says Hull arranged for it to stay buried for almost a year before it was discovered.
Not only might it be possible to make religious literalists look like fools, but perhaps he could make some money out of it.
The American way. Word of the discovery quickly spread, and Hull's staff started charging people admission to see the giant.
Well, it was pretty startling because within a couple of days, hundreds of people were making their way to Cardiff to view him.
As for the giant, it was making a fortune. In the first week alone, the exhibit took in what would now be about $25,000. And it got even better as the giant was put on display in several Northeast cities. P.T. Barnum even made a fake of the fake to put on exhibit. No one knew for sure what the giant was. Well-known experts were split over whether the giant was the petrified remains of a biblical giant race, or was it a statue carved by early settlers? Or was it all a hoax? Bob Thompson says, in the end, it didn't really matter.
There's no TV yet. There's no radio. There's no movies. We're bored to death. I mean, you're bringing the sheaves. You're milking the cows. You know, life could be really dull. And if someone suddenly says, there's this big, massive, petrified giant, want to come see it? Quarter. You know, you're going to probably say yes.
Thousands of people did say yes, until the scheme began to unravel within 2 months when Hull finally admitted it was all a fake. Cardiff would never again see that much activity or get that much attention, and the giant began fading from America's collective conscious. But now, almost 150 years after the giant was discovered, there is a movement underway in central New York to preserve his place in America's pop culture.
Keeping the Cardiff alive, I think, should be the responsibility of this local community, though. I really do.
Peter Tye is superintendent of the school district that includes Cardiff. Now, he's been working on an idea to incorporate the giant into a one-of-a-kind student activity.
Why don't we have high school kids go through the entire process of creating, writing, a play, a musical?
That's right. The giant, an original work of art, may be transformed into another work of art, a musical. Tye says that could help cement the giant's place in history.
If Cardiff the musical, if it ever made it to Broadway, can you imagine that anybody would ever forget?
Probably not, especially if Tye's choice of songwriters works out.
I just envision, Tom Lehrer writing the lyrics. Paul Simon recently did a musical, and maybe Paul Simon would be interested in working with our kids.
But while Cardiff the musical has a long way to go before taking shape, another effort to keep the giant alive is well underway. Syracuse artist Tye Marshall is busy building a full-size replica of the Cardiff giant from scratch as part of a plan to recreate the historic event this fall.
We've joked that it's a fake of a fake of a fake.
But this project is real. Marshall has the dimensions of the original Cardiff giant, and he's using modern-day materials to build his own.
Step one is the wood foundation. Step two is the wire mesh creating the body. And then step three is, putting the concrete over it. It's just such a perfect story. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's drama and intrigue. There are colorful characters. How can you not be interested in something like that?
So, on the anniversary date of the discovery of the original Cardiff giant, this new replica will be unearthed, following the timeline of the original event, charging the same amount that George Hull did to see the creature back in 1869, 25 cents. But this time, visitors will be able to take home a piece of the giant with them. Not literally, but they will be able to pick up some Cardiff giant soap, candy, coffee, even wine. And local stores are promising giant sales. Tye Marshall says the bigger the better if the giant is to capture the imagination of a new generation.
The story only stays alive if we talk about it and if we remember it or read about it. So this is one way of keeping that story alive.
That's just fine with historian Roy Dodge, who says the time is right to relearn some of the lessons of the Cardiff giant.
We are apt to fall into some of the same mindset today as those people did. There's always the preachers and the politicians and the pundits around who tell us things that may or may not be quite true, and people believe them.
Syracuse pop culture expert Bob Thompson is glad his community is celebrating what he calls one of the area's finest moments.
We were doing Balloon Boy many, many, many years before everybody else figured out how to do it. And we managed to make the Cardiff Giant a big deal without CNN and without TMZ and without any of these kind of things. We were playing that kind of game back when it was a lot harder to play than it is now. And I think we ought to embrace that.
So that's the plan. And if all goes well, chances are you'll be hearing about the discovery of a huge creature in the hills of central New York this fall. People all over the world may hear about it once again. And the little community of Cardiff may finally reclaim its place as the home, the proud home, of one of the greatest hoaxes people ever fell for. For NPR News, I'm Randy Wenner in Syracuse.